Is she recording? Because of the wind, you might want to have that recording made closer. It's gonna, it's gonna go shoo shoo shoo.
Yeah. I have to move back now.
He
takes up all the space.
That's why I thought I recognized you.
That's what happens when you're seven.
Wide range there.
We will have no other king but King Jesus.
Can I? So wait, give me a second. You can't miss that. That's the most important part. Okay.
Yeah. All right. 3, 2, 1 or something here.
We will have no other king but King Jesus. That was said on this screen way back when. Part of the reason we come here to the green on April 18th in the evening is because most people don't realize it, but Pastor Jonas Clark, the Patriot pastor, actually came out with the militia, the Minutemen, the night before the battle and gave them an exhortation from Scripture. They didn't know exactly all the things that were going to happen the next day and so forth, but he came out and he read to them. A lot of people don't even know this, but he read to them from the 7th chapter of the book of Judges. You may be familiar with that portion of Scripture that talks about Gideon and Gideon's army. He read to them these words. Judges chapter 7, beginning at verse 15. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream. And interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into 3 companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and break the pitchers that were in their hands. And the 3 companies blew the trumpets and break the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and Gideon. And they stood every man to his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host, and the host fled to Bethshittah and Zerah, and to the border of Abel-Bahar, and to Tabah, and the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all of Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, Come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Beth-Barah and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Beth-Barah and Jordan. And they took 2 princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock of Oreb, and Zeeb they slew at the winepress of Zeeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon on the other side of Jordan. Praise God for the reading of His Word. I read from the King James translation, Judges chapter 7, verses 15 through the end of that chapter, which of course was verse 25. Now, I hope that you can understand and see the significance of why Jonas Clark, the Patriot pastor, came on this sacred ground and he read that passage of Scripture to the militia, to the Minutemen. Because he knew that they were greatly outnumbered, just the way Israel was greatly outnumbered by the Midianites. Think about that from the standpoint of, okay, here's the Lexington Minutemen, and we often say 77 of them against 700 British regulars. Okay, well, we don't say that the British were coming, the British were coming, the British, we were British. The redcoats were coming, and the redcoats were well trained and went well provided for. They were regular army, if you will, and they're up against the militia, who were also well trained Minutemen, but certainly outgunned. Well, the pastor thought it well enough, and I wish that pastors today all over this country, as I years ago resurrected, if you will, for the 20th and 21st century, the Black Robe Regiment, you pastors come out and preach to your people to stand against tyranny.
Amen.
And that's what they did. They stood against a tyranny, and they were right for doing it. And by the way, for anyone who doesn't know who fired the first shot, we did not fire the first shot. If you go across this green, you will see over there a monument that says, "Stand your ground, but don't fire unless fired upon. But if they mean to have a war, let it begin here." That's the kind of bravura we need in America today. Because we're facing tyranny just like that again. They would not fire upon anybody, but they would defend their ground. And by the way, that happened to have been their ethic because of being Christians, but it also is their ethic because of being Minutemen. And by the way, I wonder how many of you have ever heard the Minuteman oath. "We trust in God that should this state of our affairs require it, we shall be ready to sacrifice our estates and everything dear in life, yea, and life itself, in support of the common cause." Well, I tell Americans all over this country, wherever I go, I want you to have this same oath. I want you to have this same courage. I want you to have the same conviction, just the same conviction that we read at the end of the Declaration of American Independence, where it says, life, right, our estates, and our sacred honor, right? That same thing, that is what worked for them then, that's what works for us now. We don't have enough people saying that, but they should. And by the way, we're standing on the very spot where the blood of the martyrs was spilt, right here. You think that the grass is green because of the Lexington Public Works or because of Scott's fertilizer? Well, maybe they use that, but that's not the reason why it's green. The blood of the martyrs is in this ground somewhere. And by the way, as a chaplain for the Sons of the American Revolution, the National Society Sons of the American Revolution, you will find over there those markers. There are 8 of them. It says SAR on that, Sons of the American Revolution. Those are my people. Those are part of my constituents. I am pastor to them, even though we'll say that they're being dead. But I make sure every single year that they are commemorated, even though we've had problems doing that, because they were martyrs of the cause. And do you know that we're standing in the very spot where the oldest war monument in America is? That's the oldest war monument in all of America, from 1799, built in the year 1799. Originally, they were not buried there. They were taken and buried there later. Their graves were exhumed and brought to that spot, and I'm so thankful that they are, because God only knows what would have happened to their graves over the years, just the same as across the street in the old burial ground. How many people know that John Parker, the captain of the Minutemen or militia, is buried over there? And John Hancock, the pastor, not John Hancock, it was the grandfather of John Hancock, the signer of the Declaration, and Pastor Jonas Clark, who came out on the night before the Battle of Lexington on April 18th. He came out on the green and he exhorted from Scripture and told them, "You cannot fire upon them, but you must do your job. You have a sacred oath." And he spoke to them as I just read to you from Scripture. Now, if you were to read that monument, and I can tell you that most people don't understand what it's about, what does it say? "Sacred to liberty and the rights of mankind." In 1799, when they put that there, they believed that what had happened on this green in 1775 was to the cause of mankind, not just for the people of Lexington, not just for the Mass Bay Colony, but for people all over the world. And by the way, when we say that this was the place where the shot was fired, heard round the world, because never had there been a people that had stood against tyranny in this way, stood against a person calling himself a divine right king. George III said he was a divine right king. You can't rebel against me. That's not right. People stood their ground here and thought they were doing this not only for themselves and for their children then, but for us as their posterity, but also for people all over the world. And if you stand here in this green often enough, people come from all over the world here. I see people and talk to people from all over the world here. Why do they come? Because they want to know about liberty and freedom. They want to know, is it possible on the face of this earth, in this fallen world, that there could be freedom and liberty? So what does it say? Sacred to the liberty and the rights of mankind, the freedom and independence of America, sealed and defended with the blood of her sons. This monument is erected by the inhabitants of Lexington under the patronage and at the expense of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to the memory of their fellow citizens, Ensign Robert Monroe, Messrs. Jonas Parker, Samuel Hadley, Jonathan Harrington Jr., Isaac Muzzi, Caleb Harrington, and John Brown of Lexington, Asha Hell Porter of Woburn, who fell on this field, the first victims of the sword of British tyranny and oppression, on the morning of the ever-memorable 19th of April, Anno Domini, which you know in the Latin means Year of Our Lord, 1775. The die was cast. The blood of these martyrs and the cause of God and their country was the cement of the union of these states, then colonies, and gave the spring to the spirit, firmness, and resolution to their fellow citizens. They rose as one man to revenge their brethren's blood and at the point of the sword to assert and defend their native rights. They nobly dared to be free. The contest was long, bloody, and affecting. Righteous heaven approved the solemn appeal. Victory crowned their arms, and the peace, liberty, and independence of the United States of America was their glorious reward, built in the year 1799. That is what America is about. That's about America's foundation, what they believed in. By the way, you'd have a hard time getting the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to pay for this monument now. They don't even want to take care of it. There are many people in this state and in this country that want that taken out. They do not want anyone to be able to read this and know that this is what they fought for. This is what they believe. And of course, defend their native rights. Where do native rights come from? If we read the Declaration of American Independence, we are told that we have inalienable, some said unalienable, rights, that we were endowed by our who? Our Creator. And by the way, when they said here, the contest was long, bloody, and affecting. We had a war going on, really, 1775 to 1783. It was a long war. It was bloody. A lot of things happened, right? But righteous heaven approved the solemn appeal. Victory crowned their arms with the peace, liberty, and independence of the United States. It was long. It was bloody. Why would we win? Let me tell you something. I don't buy scratch tickets. I'm not a betting man or any of those things, but I want to tell you something. If I was betting, I would not bet on the Continental Army. I wouldn't have bet on the Lexington Minutemen or the Lexington Militia. I would have bet on the British regulars, the Redcoats. They were better prepared, and of course, in the afternoon. And just to tell you how they felt about us, they said to us here on the green, drop your arms, you blankety blank, and I can't repeat what they said, rebels, and we might let you live. Gee, that's really nice of you. You might let us live. And what did we say to them? We said to them, we might disperse, but we cannot drop our arms because we are under that oath as the militia or as the Minutemen to defend our families, to defend our homes. And all we're asking, when they stood on this green on the northwest corner, because the British were marching to Concord to recover munitions there that had been taken at Fort William and Mary in Newcastle, New Hampshire. They were going right up here on Mass Ave. And they stood here, not even blocking the road. And they got fired upon because the British said, you don't have any rights unless we tell you you have rights. That's what we were facing in that day. Well, does any American today really believe that we have rights? People say the rights come from government. No, they don't come from government. They come from God. It's in our declaration. It's there. Now, I believe that what happened here in this green was a principled resistance a principled resistance to tyranny. Alexander Hamilton was not necessarily my favorite person, necessarily, but he was a true patriot in the day. And in Federalist Number 36 in 1788, he said this: "Happy will it be for ourselves and most honorable for human nature if we have wisdom and virtue enough to set so glorious an example to mankind. Democracy in America," and this was written by a Frenchman named Alexis de Tocqueville, he wrote, "In the United States, the sovereign authority is religious. There is no country in the whole world where the Christian religion retains a greater influence over the souls of men than in America. And there can be no greater proof of its utility and of its conformity to human nature than that its influence is powerfully felt over the most enlightened and free nation of the earth." The most enlightened and free nation of the earth. This is a Frenchman paid by the French to come here who said we were the most enlightened of all of these countries of the world and the most free nation on earth. That's what he said in the early 1800s. James Wilson gave lectures on law in 1791. He said, "Has force exerted for the purposes of malevolence a right to command? Can it impose an obligation to obey? No. Resistance to such force is a right, and if resistance can prove effectual, it's a duty also. Americans today have a duty to resist tyranny, just like they had in that day. We have that duty today. Unfortunately, most say they can't do it or they shouldn't do it." Joseph Story wrote in the Commentaries of the Constitution, 1833, "Republics are created by the virtue, public spirit, and intelligence of the citizens. They fall when the wise are banished from public councils because they dare to be honest, and the profligate are rewarded because they flatter the people in order to betray them." These people were saying things that are happening today in 2015. We have this going on. Now, I don't know how many of you know this, but Benjamin Franklin, when he was coming up with the idea of a seal for America and so forth, you know that he had, of course, talked about having the turkey. But there was something else also that he did. And what it was he actually had an emblem called "Rebellion to Tyrants is Obedience to God." Well, I want to tell America 2015, it's still true. Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. When people try to play God and they try to get us to keep from serving God and they try to take America a place it shouldn't be, say, excuse me, put my finger on the law. And so in August 1776, he chose the dramatic historical scene, and for those people would say Benjamin Franklin wasn't a Christian, he was a deist, and he was this, he was that, and so forth. People trying to denigrate these founding fathers, I say, please don't do that in my presence. These people were great people, like we should have today. What did he use? He used a dramatic historical scene described in Exodus from the Bible, where people confronted a tyrant in order to gain their freedom. And of course, the tyrant at that time was Pharaoh, with Moses saying, "Let my people go." You see, this is the stuff that our founding fathers, the people we've descended from, that's what encouraged them to do what was a difficult thing to do, a dangerous thing to do. Well, maybe it should encourage us today in the same way. And I want to tell you, Thomas Jefferson liked the motto, "Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God," so much, he used it on his personal seal. So much for people who say that Thomas Jefferson was just a deist and he didn't believe. He used it on his personal seal, right? So also it seems to have inspired the upper motto on the final reverse side of the great seal, Annuit Coeptis, "God has favored on our undertakings." People, as you watch this video or hear this audio of being here on Lexington Green, April 18th, 2015, will you please remember this? They did not win because they were stronger. Our ancestors, we've descended from them, they didn't win because they were stronger, they didn't have better weapons and whatever, but they had the courage that God put in their hearts to stand against tyranny.
Amen.
And we need to do that again, just in the same way that we will believe if we stand on a righteous cause, God will favor our undertakings. And And you know that I've said it on this green many years, and I say it all over the country. Someone has stolen my country. And I want her back, and I want her back now. I didn't give her away. I certainly didn't sell her. And I want her back now.
Huzzah!
Huzzah!
Amen. Pause. I don't know how you shut it off.